right. Today we're with Yosef Khalidi. He's a distinguished engineer, and his world is the world of cloud computing and Windows Azure. So thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, Josh, for inviting me.
Absolutely. So, you know, let's dig a little bit into your history, right? You were at Solaris, or Sun, actually. And you worked on Solaris, mm-hmm. utility computing, mm-hmm. et cetera. Tell us a little bit about your background.
I started my career in the industry at Sun Microsystems back in the late 80s. Mm. I did some early research work, but mostly it was product work.
Okay.
Mostly around operating systems, platforms, distributed systems. Mm. So early on, I did something called Solaris MC, which became the Sun Cluster product line. High availability, high-end enterprise systems. Mm. We used to deal with these big 64 CPU boxes, half a terabyte of memory fill over, big
wow.
high-end stuff.
Yeah.
Then for a while, I used to be the CTO and the chief architect of Solaris,
excellent.
Which was a very interesting experience, to be honest, dealing with high-end enterprise customers and the like.
Uh-huh.
And later on, I did utility computing, which was very much in the 90s,
yes,
late 90s.
Yes, I remember that name. I mean, Bill used to talk about utility computing.
Exactly.
What is utility computing?
You know, to be honest, today we have things called cloud computing. Back mm-hmm. then, it used to be, the main problem was you had in enterprise lots of machines, lots of heterogeneous machines and the like, and you wanted to automate the management of the infrastructure.
Mm.
And you wanted to do like sort of bill on behalf and pay as you go within the enterprise. So some of the early ideas we have in cloud computing now were sort of started in utility computing.
Interesting.
But there were differences then.
Yeah.
For example, early then there were no virtual machines to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So everything had to be done with physical machines.
Understood.
And there was a problem. And the fact that it was very heterogeneous, scale up and scale out and everything, mm-hmm. it was very hard. So the industry at large did not really succeed in that space.
Sure. Now you're a Georgia Tech grad.
That's right. Earlier on, exactly.
Yeah,
yes,
very
yeah.
early on.
Yes.
You had a PhD in computer science.
Exactly, yes, yeah.
Excellent.
Very early work on distributed systems, object-based systems, and the like. That was quite fun as well.
So let's talk about distributed systems in general.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it's hard to program distributed
so.
Systems
very
because
so.
They're distributed. And when you deal with distributed systems in the cloud,
yep.
Errors are going to happen all
mm-hmm,
the time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to debug. Let's talk about some of the challenges.
There are two levels if you think about distributed systems. There's the actual platform, which is built by people like us, you know, by a company like us. Mm-hmm. We give it to customers, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be able to build it, maintain it, and run it, and for them to be able to use it as well. That's a hard problem, okay? But we can probably do it.
Mm.
The hard part, though, is for programmers, for developers, to write to such systems. Mm-hmm. And the trick is to give them a platform where they don't have to worry about all the issues you just mentioned.
Yes.
You cannot expect every developer to have to worry about high availability and scalability and failures and all the communication stuff you deal with and then add value to the application. So the trick going forward really is to give them very highly available platforms, very scalable and so forth, and a programming environment mm. where they can concentrate on writing their business logic, their application, and worry less about provisioning and failures and communication problems
excellent.
And so forth.
I mean, essentially, it's essentially what we did with garbage collection, right? Except
very
you're applying
good
a distribution.
Very good example. Instead of having to worry about, you know, allocating memory and free it and the like.
Totally.
Just get your job done and somebody else in the system will take care of the problems for you.
Perfect. So that sounds like how we're defining Windows Azure. But before we get there, what is cloud computing?
Many people define it in many different ways because,
okay.
we are in the early days of cloud computing. One definition that I like is it's a style of computing where you have dynamic, scalable resources that are delivered as a service, typically over the internet. So you have these resources like CPU, memory, runtimes, hosting environments, etc., services,
mm-hmm.
storage and the like, that are delivered as a service.
Okay.
So you just call them, invoke them, etc. And they're very scalable and very dynamic. You want more, it gives you more of it. And typically, it's delivered over the internet, so it's available to everybody.
Interesting.
Now, there are many dimensions to it. You have notions of sort of private clouds, which may be behind walls,
mm-hmm.
or public clouds, which are shared by everybody. You may have notions of ownership. I own my infrastructure versus I pay as I go.
Yeah.
And the issues also of governance and who controls certain things. So there's a whole spectrum of these things.
Yeah.
But net-net, it's what I mentioned, is about having all these resources that are available for developers, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They pay as they go, and they get them very quickly
interesting.
In a very malleable infrastructure.
And now how does this sort of bubble out to, you know, if you will, user mode? You know, the reality, people who use these things,
yep.
who don't really need to worry about that it's coming from a distributed service or whatever.
You have the actual end customers, which uh-huh. they're basically you and I as consumers.
Yes.
We get the resource wherever we get it, or the enterprise, for example. Mm. The interesting persona, if you will, in this discussion is a developer who she or he have to write code applications thrown on this platform. Okay. So the trick is to give them, as I mentioned, an environment which is very familiar to them, very similar to what they can do on-premises in the classical way, but yet amenable to run in the cloud. Hmm. So our strategy, by the way, is to very much to bridge the way people program today for .NET, for the usual way you program for Windows, a rich environment we have, and apply that, project that to the cloud.
Interesting.
Which is, by the way, unlike what others do in the industry.
Is it?
Yes, a big differentiator for us.
Let us talk about that. So, I mean, we have, you know, for example, Google mm-hmm. has their app kit, and they
sure.
have a pretty scalable, dynamic cloud
sure.
offering. What is the...
So, I'll give you an example. So, as you mentioned Google, for example, mm-hmm. they have this app engine thing. And, you have to write for the app engine. It's a very nice system, by the way. You can be online with Google App Engine literally in a few minutes, okay? But it's very constrained. You have to learn their environment. You have to write code to their environment and live within the constrained environment, and that's it. You have the other side of the spectrum. You have Amazon, for example. Mm-hmm. They'll run stuff in their infrastructure, and they'll give you no support whatsoever for programming. And then you have people like us, where we have this rich, very rich programming environment and a rich history of catering and listening to developers and a large number of developers who understand how to write to our application APIs and runtimes, who understand all the tools we have for them.
Sure.
And they can use the same tools and effectively the same APIs to write applications that then can span the spectrum of being run either locally or remotely, or run in both places and being connected seamlessly through the network as well.
Excellent.
That part of the strategy, nobody has. And if others try to attempt to replicate it, they're going to have problems.
True.
Because frankly, Google is very good at what they do with the very so web-like things. Mm-hmm. Others are good at maybe infrastructure pieces, but nobody has the whole spectrum.
Absolutely. Now that's a really important point, because I think when we first announced Windows Azure at PDCOA, mm-hmm. I think some of the thinking that invoked in customers was, wow, this is going to be Microsoft hosting websites. But in fact, it's really, you know, computation for...
It is.
You know, it is. Let's talk about that.
It's an OS.
Yes.
We do view Windows Azure as an operating system for the cloud. Now, don't take me very literally, by the way. We do have an OS per machine, where we have invested heavily in a very efficient extension to our hypervisor and with Windows Server to make it more efficient for the cloud. But collectively, the whole platform is like an OS in that it provides services, provides a way for you to run applications, it provides you accounting for your applications and so forth, metering, usage, and the like. And it enables you to run whatever application you want to run on top of it. Of course, we favor .NET, we favor our programming tools, but if you want to run Java on this thing, go for it. If you have some legacy code, you go for it. So in that sense, it's like an OS. And again, that's different how others in the industry look at this stuff.
Sure.
They either look at it as a bunch of VMs running on a piece of hardware, or as a very confined programming environment like, for example, Google App Engine. So our OS orientation, which stems from the Windows OS orientation, is key here.
Sure.
And we're using the same strategy we have used to make Windows popular, to make Windows Azure in general also popular.
Absolutely. And of course, you have a rich history in Windows on the client and also the server SKUs. Let's talk a little bit about the challenges of going from writing an operating system that's sort of, we all know what it is, right? It has a kernel, user mode, application services. Memory management,
process scheduling.
Those are the same problems you face up there.
You have a counterpart to each one of these in the cloud.
Excellent.
You know, so for example, an operating system is not an operating system without a file system, right?
Yep.
That's why in Windows Azure we have rich storage services. We have rich Azure storage services, which are very scalable. And we also have SQL Azure, which brings, this is very important, brings the SQL model all the way to the cloud as well. Other examples, resource management in general. In a per-machine OS, the OS is responsible for starting processes and stopping them and the like. Same thing, Windows Azure is responsible for starting these application roles. Now, in Azure, of course, the model is richer in that you can start a process, you can start a whole VM, stuff in between as well. The other example is metering, for example.
Sure.
The basic OS does also accounting. We do the same thing in a distributed system. And based on that, we can do billing, for example. So there's always counterparts with these things. But very importantly, as I mentioned, the mentality, the philosophy is that of an OS. So you have to be able to run applications in general, and you have to be able to manage them, and also worry about security between those applications, isolate them, and so forth.
Absolutely. I mean, policies.
Of course.
I mean, let's talk about that. What are some of the sort of big problems? I mean, you're a distinguished engineer. You're tasked with Windows, Azure, pretty much all up. What are the big problems that you're working on? Like
There are multiple dimensions to the problem. First, I want to repeat myself in that this space is still early on.
Sure.
Okay, so we are learning and listening to the customers and vice versa, by the way. They're also seeing what we do and so forth. But clearly, there are some early indications where we have to go invest and think about issues. I already spoke a bit on the developer issue. Okay, we have to make the platform easy to develop, not just by able to for people to be able to take programs they can run on-premise, run them in the cloud, but also write new applications that can harness the power of the cloud. And the many scenarios you can think of where which a cloud enables, like federation scenarios and supply chain and so forth.
Sure.
So the developer, it's key to our platform, it's key to Windows Azure, it's key to our business. So that's the first thing I really think a lot about.
Okay.
There are other issues in the more of a platform level, security. Security is really key in cloud-based systems, and let me explain. In traditional systems, you have a machine, maybe a box. You may have physical security where you put it in a data center and lock the door. In a cloud system, you have this sea of machines, typically shared among many customers. And even in a so-called private cloud, it's shared among multiple business units or multiple interests. You have to be able to separate these applications, these customers from each other. They cannot see each other. They cannot spy on each other. So security is a big deal in for separation of applications, and also to make sure customer can trust the hosting provider, be it Microsoft or anybody else, with their data, with their applications. It's one thing to have in a traditional system your application in a box behind a locked door. It's another to have it up there in the cloud.
Exactly.
Who has the access to it?
Yep.
Who can actually touch the machine? What are the policies of looking at the data? Who owns the data, et cetera? So there are sort of policy issues to be resolved, and there are corresponding technical issues to be resolved to make sure that the policies can be enforced.
Interesting.
So developer is very important. Security and trust are very important. And then there are hardcore engineering issues to be solved. And for those, let me explain some of the basic value prop of cloud computing is what? Agility, reduction of cost. To do that, you have to be able to automate a lot of functions. Because frankly, if you have many, many machines and many, many people managing the machines, you're not saving anything. So you have to automate things. So automation has to kick in to do all sorts of things, from physical infrastructure management to application lifecycle management.
Okay.
So automation is another thing we're really investing in to make the whole thing happen together, if you want.
Sure.
There's a longer list, but these are some of the high order bits you can
think
of.
Absolutely. I mean, it seems to me that, I mean, when you have like an operating system like Windows, let's take the client, for example. I could write an application on Windows that has, say, I don't manage memory correctly, and I cause a memory leak, and this get out of memory.
Yeah.
You know, can an out of memory happen in the cloud?
In the local sense, what you program with, your inner loop application, is the same, really. So in the local sense, you can do the usual things that can happen to you or you can expect are there. So it's really .NET, it's really Win32, et cetera, in the local sense.
Sure.
But to answer your question, in the more global sense for your service, of course these things can happen, but in a different way.
Okay.
For example, your application may be doing some message passing to some remote cache, a distributed cache. Failures can happen. That packet may be dropped, more likely maybe a machine crashes or something. So you have to handle failures, extra set of failures and events at a different level. The ones that you don't actually see usually in this model. And again, that goes back to my point of you want to hide as much as possible from programmers and this stuff.
Yeah.
Put them in frameworks. Put them in runtimes. So you don't have to worry about these things.
Sure.
But there's a new class of these issues in there. Another class, if I may.
Sure.
Data is a big deal in distributed systems.
Absolutely.
If you want to scale, you have to partition your data. And typically, we don't think of that. We think of having a simple table somewhere and just doing queries and joins over it. But if you want to really be very scalable, you have to think of partitioning your table and so on, having sharding and so forth. So the new areas one can really learn and grow to truly utilize the harness the power of large-scale systems.
Certainly. Now, speaking about harnessing the power of large-scale systems, how do you foresee people using Azure? I mean, you can think of it as like computation in as a service. So let's say I have this big data computation I want to do. I throw it up to Azure and say, work on it on n number of nodes, come back to me when you're done. Do you see that happening? Do you see it already happening?
Well, let me ask you a question. How do you use Windows Server today? There's a whole spectrum.
Sure.
From a simple web server to high-end, high-performance computing and batch jobs and the like.
Sure.
So my answer to your question is the same way. The whole spectrum. We do view Windows Azure as an operating system. And as such, it has uses throughout the spectrum, from simple web serving all the way to heavy-duty, heavy-lifting, batch jobs, number crunching, over data, and so forth. So it's all of the above. We are not viewing this thing as Google App Engine, a simple web front-end thingy. It's on the contrary. It's an operating system.
Sure.
It's our operating system for the cloud.
Excellent. Now, your boss,
Amitabh,
was on Channel 9, and he said something that really has stuck with me since our conversation, and that is, he was saying that cloud computing is really in the first 5 minutes of the first quarter. And so, you know, you're coming to PDC as a, and you are a technical leader. You're going to be talking about sort of a broad vision. What are some of the, you know, when you look out over the horizon, what do you see?
Like, we see quite a bit, and at the same time, we don't see enough.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because Amitabh was quite right. We are very much early on, and as I mentioned this a couple of times. Some of the things we see is truly making it easy for the investment of applications to span the spectrum from on-premise to the cloud. I mean, our value add, to, in many ways, has to be to preserve the investment we have and amplify it, increase it, and allow apps to be written in ways you and I and anybody else can't foresee at the moment.
Exactly.
So for that, we have to make the platform more general, more powerful, more scalable, and so forth. So we know we will do our best to make the OS part of it, the platform part of it, stronger to enable others to innovate on top of it. We also foresee the need to bridge the various clouds and the various entities, networks out there in a secure fashion. Because if you want to enable the scenarios I've been alluding to, federation, connectivity, and so forth, you have to have the business network connectivity to be as strong, connect, you can actually connect, talk to each other in a secure fashion. So I know we're going to be investing more in that space to make sure that that vision comes to fruition, if you will.
Sure.
We will have to also do more in terms of storage, both to make it more scalable and highly available and so forth, and also to make the programming of that space easier for many, many people.
Yeah.
And finally, I foresee the need to have high-level abstractions around runtimes and hosting environments and programming models to put the whole thing together. But I want to end again by repeating something.
Sure.
It's a wide spectrum of applications set in there. So some of the stuff we foresee, we will be actually told, no, it should be this way versus that way. And we'll hear from developers, from programmers, really, who will tell us, really, no, we want this for the platform. And we will respond.
Excellent. Now, what about the evolution of the client? In this model, right? I mean, the Windows operating system that we all run,
of course,
in some sense, needs to be cloud computing enabled. I mean, what does that mean? Like, how are you impacting the evolution of Windows?
Well, you know, this whole business of the cloud is very much a manifestation of what we've been talking about for a while of software plus a service.
Okay.
Okay. So you have software that run on premises in your client, even on your or even your Windows server on the on premises, if you will, that connect. That are extended by the cloud. Okay. So you see many services that Windows has or will have that can then leverage or be extended to the cloud.
Excellent.
And Windows Azure is basically a way for to have an extension of Windows in the cloud as well. At the lower level, at the bits level, we all use Windows, by the way. So it's all the Windows Foundation. It's all .NET. It's the stuff we all know and extend, if you will. It's the same hypervisor, et cetera. So there's a leverage at the lowest level, but more of a consumer, from a customer perspective, it's an extension of what they can do on-premises, on their desktop or in their on-premise data center. to the cloud.
Perfect. And finally, I mean, Ray Ozzie will be talking about this again at PDC 09, which hopefully you're going to, about the three screens and the cloud, right? So the cloud, the pressure on you, in some sense, will be pretty profound in the sense that you will be basically computing on behalf of several different types of devices.
Yes.
Where data isn't necessarily the same for each device, mm-hmm. or at least not mm-hmm. packaged mm-hmm. in the same way. These are all problems that you're thinking of, and I mean that's sort of the promise of the cloud, right?
Yes, yes. And again, the way we think about it is very much as an operating system with a platform.
Perfect.
In that we don't claim to be the experts in mobile or in the client side mm-hmm. or your favorite HPC or and the like. On the contrary, we know that we are OS people.
Yeah.
We are the platform people. And we know that the real innovation will come from the respective experts in those fields. So our job is to give you an operating system for the cloud.
Excellent.
Okay? And then people will actually go use it and tell us, oh, you don't like this thing, or give me something different than that, et cetera.
Perfect. And so what exactly are you talking about at PDC 09? We want to advertise that.
Oh, I'm giving a talk. I believe it's currently titled Bridging On-Premises to the Cloud.
Excellent.
It will explore more the themes we have been discussing here.
Sure.
And also we'll explore more of the technological aspects, options we have to mm-hmm. grow the cloud from what people think of as a public cloud into other options in the spectrum.
Excellent.
So please join me at the PDC.
Absolutely.
It should be fun.
I know I'll be there. Hey, thank you for coming on.
Thanks.
Great talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.